My elbow hurts again this morning. I think I have tendonitis, although how I would have developed tennis elbow in my left arm when I'm right-handed and haven't played tennis in 30 years is a mystery. But it hurts. Maybe not a lot. But it's very hard to have an accurate perspective on pain when it's your own. It's like seeing something on the beach. Objects on the beach, wrote Henry David Thoreau, whether men or inanimate things, look much larger than they actually are. The illusion is similar to seeing a lake from a mountain pass and then hiking down to the water and finding a 2-foot-deep puddle across which one can skip a stone. Or perhaps my hard drive crash the week before coming to Cape Cod was akin to Thoreau's experience of seeing a stick poked into the sand. At half a mile, he wrote, "The insignificant sliver which marked the spot looked like a bleached spar. Across the barren expanse of technology, my lost files seemed enormous." Perspective is inescapable, as much as science might aspire to the illusion of objectivity. Walking the beach this morning and facing east, the ocean was a slate gray. But when I turned to the west, it was a sapphire blue. What is its real color when nobody is looking? As the philosopher Nelson Goodman put it, there's no such thing as a view from nowhere. And much of what we perceive about the world depends on our interests and experiences. To Thoreau, a distant hill along the beach looked like a mountain, and the ocean was framed in terms of inland waters. "We wish to associate with the ocean until it lost the pond-like look which it wears to a country man," he wrote. "We still thought that we could see the other side." Maybe this is why pain can be so much more frightening for children. I've been told that if one cannot imagine a place without pain just beyond the horizon, then the suffering expands without limit. When my dad would hit his hand with a hammer during a home project, he'd grimace and say, "Boy, is it going to feel good when the pain stops." He died 3 years ago in a car crash. And some days I'm not sure that I can see the other side. I really don't know what it's like to be a Cape Cod resident or maybe anything other than who I am. But this possibility seems rather grim, even frightening, suggesting that we are truly alone in our lived experiences. Some of my postmodern university colleagues insist that I can't know what it's like to be female, homosexual, black, or poor. Of course, this suggests that they know what it's like to be me, but it makes them mad when I point this out. Thoreau came to grasp the limits of his perspective on the maritime people of Cape Cod. "Better to go without your dinner, I thought, than be everlastingly fishing for it like a cormorant," he wrote, and then continued. "Of course, viewed from the shore, our pursuits in the country appear not a whit less frivolous. How might the cafes, shops, and galleries of Provincetown look to a rancher from Meteetse, Wyoming? How does putting food on the table by writing essays appear to a fisherman or a roughneck? When my daughter left to return to Chicago after a week with us in the dune shack, she was scheduled to fly out of Provincetown. But the airport was fogged in, and the man at the desk said the forecast was not promising. I imagined that being the gate agent for Cape Air would be a horrifically unfulfilling job. But this fellow gave me a very different perspective. With humor, patience, and compassion, he rebooked her flight from Boston, at no cost somehow, provided detailed directions to the bus station in Provincetown, along with interpreting the Byzantine timetable, and apologized that he could not refund the cost of the Provincetown flight. He did say, however, that the ticket was good for a year should we wish to come back, and his kindness made such a possibility far more likely.